Has your life been ruined by allergies? Well, 60% of allergy sufferers in the UK would agree with you. That's according to a new study, which has found that exams, cancelling parties and having holidays ruined are just some of the trials and tribulations experienced by millions of hay fever sufferers. Now, hay fever tops the allergy poll, but of course, there are other allergies in the mix. What can we do? Well, I'm joined now by NHS GP and broadcaster, Dr. Ellie Cannon. Hello.
Hi there.
Now, of course, allergies can make life an absolute misery, can't they?
Absolutely, they really can. This survey from Clarify Me shows that actually 60% of allergy sufferers in the UK say the symptoms ruin their lives. As you said in your intro, people cancelling social plans, holidays ruined. Obviously, hay fever season is also exam season, so it affects kids and teenagers in that way. And it's actually quite serious, and yet it's something that I think many people think of just as a mild issue. We don't have a huge amount of sympathy for people with allergies.
Yeah, I think if you don't suffer from allergies, then you probably kind of miss out on this. You don't realise the seriousness of it.
I think that's right, and certainly allergy sufferers feel that. So 82% of people who were surveyed said they didn't feel their allergies were taken seriously by family and colleagues at work. And considering some people actually take time off work because of hay fever, I think that's really sort of, you know, a sad underestimation of what's really going on.
One of the figures in the study that surprised me was that actually 44% of the UK actually suffer with allergies.
That's right, yeah, that's from Allergy UK, who are the main allergy charity. Yeah, 44%, so it's quite a high number, some places much higher than others. So actually Leeds is the allergy capital of the UK. Three quarters of people in Leeds suffer with an allergy, as opposed to Glasgow, which is at the other end of the spectrum, and only 46%. So it's quite a range. It's mostly hay fever, which is an allergy to pollen, obviously, but also, people can be allergic, of course, you'll know, to certain foods, also to pets, things in the home such as dust mite. So there's quite a range.
Now, I myself have never been diagnosed with hay fever, but I have noticed in the last few years that I am getting symptoms now. And I mean, they're not serious symptoms, just like the runny nose, etc. But should you go to your doctor if you think you have got allergies and get some advice on this?
I think the best place to start is with a pharmacist. Pharmacists have a really great knowledge and a great understanding of their products, as well as a common health condition like hay fever. So they're a great place to start, because you can then explore with them the different range of medications, but also what we call the non-drug methods of treatment. So for example, things like allergen blockers, a spray like Clarify Me that goes up the nose that isn't a medication, but just simply prevents the pollen from getting into your nose. And a pharmacist can advise about all of those different things, as well as what you can use safely together.
Well, that's an interesting point, that, because part of the study mentions that a lot of pregnant women are scared to take any of the medication at all, aren't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It can be really hard in pregnancy, and particularly also as actually in pregnancy, sometimes allergies get a bit worse. Your immune system can sometimes be sort of overly sensitive when you're pregnant. So people find their hay fever symptoms can be worse. And the beauty of the sort of barrier or blocker methods is they don't have medications in them. So they are safe to use for pregnant women and also for children from 18 months onwards.
Of course, there are lifestyle tips as well, aren't there, that we can use to actually minimise the amount of pollen on our clothes and in the house, sort of thing.
There are, absolutely. And I would say again that it's so important for people to remember those practical lifestyle tips, as well as the medications and as well as the sort of non-drug things as well. So as an example, to shut your windows at night prevents the pollen coming in. Not drying your clothes outside on the line, because if you've got the laundry in the garden, it's going to get covered in pollen. And that can really impact on symptoms, bringing bringing pollen back into the house on bed sheets and on clothes. Using things like wraparound sunglasses, for example, can be really good at keeping the pollen away from the eyes. So there's lots of different things, and it's really important, as I've emphasized, to think about using these things in combination, because it's unlikely that just one tip is going to be the answer. It's probably going to be two or three.
And it's fantastic because you can use it as an excuse or a reason not to cut the grass.
Exactly, you see, so there are some benefits.
What about when it comes to food allergies and things like that? Because that can be more serious, can't it?
Yeah, so there's about sort of 28% of people who have an allergy to food. There are some very well-known allergies, of course, like peanut allergy, which often causes the most severe type of allergy, what we call anaphylaxis, which can sadly often be fatal and is, very, very severe allergy where the airway swells up and people can't breathe. People also will have food allergies that are more sort of slower and may cause skin rashes, tummy aches, things like sort of hives and itchiness, a little bit of mild swelling in the lips. You can have that from typically things like fish and seafood and eggs. There's also a more unusual type of allergy called oral allergy syndrome, which is where you eat something, but actually what you're allergic to is the pollen. But what you're eating, some sort of stoned fruit, sometimes apple, actually mimics the pollen. So your immune system thinks it's seeing that pollen, and it's not. It's actually from the food you're eating. So people will get hay fever symptoms from eating an apple.
That's really interesting, that.
Yeah, that's called oral allergy syndrome. And I think people are more and more aware of that now. And depending what pollen you're allergic to will affect what stoned fruit you can't eat. So it's all very complicated, and there's all complicated tables on the Allergy UK website. But it's really quite interesting. If people notice food allergy symptoms, they should look at that, because it might actually be their hay fever sort of manifesting as a food allergy.
It's interesting, my own brother-in-law has, he gets anaphylactic symptoms and he has to carry an EpiPen with him, but they've never managed to work out what it is that actually triggers the reaction, which, I mean, a lot of this you have to sort of break down sometimes, don't you? Your own routine and the own things that you're eating and what's in them, and do your own homework.
Absolutely, and I really encourage people who are having any allergy symptoms to do that type of breakdown, that type of diary. So keeping a diary for a good sort of 2 to 4 weeks of when you get your symptoms and what's been happening that day that could be the trigger, because although we do offer allergy testing in the UK on the NHS, we're only looking for a specific number of allergens. We're not sort of looking at a vast range of 100 or 200 different chemicals, so it can be hard to pinpoint, whereas you are more likely as an individual to find it out for yourself.
And finally, which can be a real downer if you're looking forward to a pet, or perhaps you may be looking forward to getting a guide dog to help you get you about.
Absolutely.
Animal pet allergies, they can be a real disappointment, can't they?
They really can, yeah. So that's affecting about sort of a fifth of people with allergies will have a pet allergy. There obviously are the less allergenic breeds of dog and of cat. I'm not sure how that fits in terms of sort of guide dogs, and whether or not they're sort of the same breeds or the non-allergenic ones. I feel optimistic that somebody somewhere would be sort of thoughtful enough to have actually worked that out. I'm sure there is a crossover and a need for sort of less allergenic guide dogs, but I wouldn't know what the breeds were. But yeah, absolutely, there are some people who will absolutely love or need their pets or their guide dogs and do have to take allergy medication every day in order to live with them.
Well, it's good to know that, you know, when you're attacked by an allergy, it's not necessarily the end of the road, is it? There are things that we can do. Where can we actually go for more information on this?
So there's information at clarify.me online, and that's clarify with a K. And there's all the information there about different ways of accessing medical care for allergies. And as I say, if people find that hard to access, then a pharmacist is a great place to start.
Some great tips there. Dr. Ellie Cannon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.